Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Christina Mislan, sitting in for Chenjerai Kumanyika. She's an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. Hi, Christina.
Hello.
Now, in the wake of a deadly Amtrak accident on Tuesday night that claimed seven lives and injured hundreds, the details of what actually happened are now coming to light. The train heading through Pennsylvania was traveling at 106 miles per hour as it curved around a bend meant for only 50 miles per hour. In the wake of Amtrak's last accident in December 2013, it was determined that technology called positive train control could have prevented this new accident, but it was not installed on the stretch of tracks where the derailment happened. Amtrak, which is a private-public collaboration, says it needs $52 billion over 15 years for repairs. Amazingly, just hours after the accident, the GOP-dominated House Appropriations Committee voted to cut more than $250 million in federal funding for the train service. Christina, most industrialized nations have entirely publicly funded and extremely safe national rail systems. We have Amtrak. Is it woefully inadequate and, given these accidents, actually unsafe?
Yeah, definitely. And given the many accidents that have occurred, especially in recent years, I mean, this is one out of many that have occurred. And so I think it's completely unsafe. You know, as you mentioned, Congress wants to cut even more funding, and they did. And so that renders the system even more unsafe for the hundreds of people who commute daily. But I think, you know, it's important to ask a question about the disconnect here, right? So we often see this with a conversation about, for instance, publicly funding education, right? We expect this country to be great in terms of certain services, or most all of its services, right? But at the same time, we continue to cut funding. So there's a disconnect there. And I think we need to start asking, for instance, you know, what if we...
So you were saying, what if we... Your audio is cutting out, Christine. Yeah.
What if... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was asking, what if we cut from the defense and actually apply money...
We're going to call you back on the phone, Christina. We're having trouble hearing you. We're going to call you on the phone. Christina Mislan talking to us about Amtrak and the accident that took place late Tuesday night, claiming seven lives and injuring hundreds. The House Appropriations Committee just cut in the budget a request for Amtrak $250 million, even though the public-private train service says it needs $50 billion, more than $50 billion over the next 15 years or so. Christina, can you hear me? Yes, Christina? All right. Yes, here you go. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I was just saying that what if we actually cut money from the Department of Defense and we actually applied that money to the services that will actually make people safer in this country? So we have a conversation about making people safe in terms of, you know, national security. Well, it looks like actually spending money on these services would do way more than what, for instance, the Patriot Act is doing for us.
Right. Good point. And then major protests took place in Madison yesterday, a day after the Wisconsin Justice Department declined to charge Matt Kenney, a white police officer, in the fatal shooting of Tony Robinson, a 19-year-old unarmed black man. Kenney was not wearing a body camera at the time of the incident, but dash cam footage released by the Justice Department this week shows him forcing his way into an apartment and only seconds later firing shots as he backed out. Robinson's feet can be seen in the video sticking out of the doorway as he lay dying. Marching with a banner reading Black Lives Matter, activists took over major streets and the Wisconsin Capitol yesterday, demanding justice for Robinson. About 15 to 25 people were arrested during a sit-in in front of the courthouse in Madison. The group Young, Gifted, and Black organized a people's court where they charged Officer Kenney. The group has also started a petition calling for an independent investigation into the incident. Well, Christina, given what happened recently in Baltimore with the number of charges against six officers, are you hopeful that there could be a better outcome in this incident, or is it too late?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate and tragic to say that I do think it may be too late. And even so, if we look at Baltimore, right, I mean, there's still a question of whether the cops will actually be convicted. And so it's great to actually have some charges there, but at the same time, we have to wait and see what that's going to look like. And so we saw, you know, when there are independent investigations, for instance, the Justice Department, what they did with Ferguson, we saw what that report looked like. And so I think we're missing some key important questions that we need to ask. You know, what does it look like when we say, well, a cop legally was able to use that police force and kill someone and kill an unarmed person? So we really start need to ask the questions about inherently how flawed our legal system is when we can actually use legal language to then justify the killing of someone. And so, again, we need to start asking these questions about the culture and about the legal system and what is it that we're really saying when we use that language.
And then finally, the small Central African nation of Burundi is in turmoil as an attempted coup has left uncertainty over who is in charge after weeks of unrest over President Pierre Nkurunziza's attempt to extend his tenure to a third term. An army general in the capital, Bujumbura, yesterday made a radio announcement that the president had been removed from office. But Nkurunziza, who is currently in Tanzania, after attending a summit there, announced on Twitter that people should remain calm, assuring them that he remained the head of state. The country's military seems to be split on the coup. Burundi has had its new constitution since only 2005. This latest unrest has claimed dozens of lives and more than 50,000 people have been displaced. The landlocked country is one of the world's poorest nations and a former German and Belgian colony. In 2013, it was named the world's hungriest country in terms of percentage of population. Christina, do you have any sense of what is transpiring in Burundi? Is this just a power play?
Well, it seems like some of the consensus is that it's definitely representative of an internal conflict, right? And so, it's, you know, I think it's important for the international community to maybe hold off judgment on exactly what's going on. I think we need to continue to support public peace talks. We need to continue to support the Arusha Peace Agreement. So whether it's just another power play or, you know, real concern for democratic elections and political processes, which is still part of the conversation, I think it's important to realize that Kenyan citizens should have a right to decide what their country is going to look like and does look like, right? And so I want to be careful about making any predictions of what exactly is going on. I think we need to, as other experts have also suggested, we really do need to see how this is going to play out before again, we jump to those conclusions and try to predict what's going to happen.
We will follow the story. Christina, thanks so much for joining us today. Christina Mislan is an assistant professor of journalism studies at the Missouri School of Journalism. We'll be right back.